God has been laying things on my heart for months, and I've been kind of putting little bits and pieces together. And then with the missions trip coming up, I thought, okay, this is the time. This is the time for me. And then a couple of weeks ago, Mom had started kind of getting into my message a little bit, and I thought, that's just confirmation. So this is time for this. I want to ask you this morning, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but anybody fish or hunt? Decent amount of hands. And you know, when you go fishing or hunting where you're doing something like that, you got to use good bait. You have to use good bait, because if you're using bad bait, you're not going to catch anything. And what makes good bait? You know, if you stop and think about, okay, if I'm going out with bait, say I'm going to go fishing, so I got to have good bait. So what makes good bait? Good bait has to appeal to the target, whatever your target is, whether it's turkey, whether it's fish. You know, the bait has to look good, whether you're setting out decoys for ducks. You know, it has to look good. It has to appeal to the target that you're trying to catch. It has to appeal to them and attract them in some way. And you need it to look kind of real, because let's face it, just like most of us, we can spot fakes. You know, and if you get something that doesn't look even a little bit real, whatever your target is, your fish are going to just swim off. Turkeys aren't going to come in. I mean, working with the youth up there, they can spot fakes quick. So you have to be real. The world wants something that's real. They're tired of fakes. You can flip on TikTok, and you can find fakes anywhere. The world wants something real. You got to have good bait. And it has to look so real that you don't recognize that it's not real until it's too late, until you got that fish on the hook. Once the target realizes it's a trap, you want it to be too late, because you've already gotten them. Or has the bait got you? And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about. We did a series several years ago. We've kind of touched on it throughout the times, but we did a whole series, I think it was back in 2009, it's called The Bait of Satan. And it had been kind of going over, and there was not the whole thing, because it was a long series, but just bits and pieces of it had started going over in my mind. And with the world in the state it is, it just kept pounding in my head. You know, we just come through this long series of talking about the strongholds. And the one that we hadn't hit on yet was offenses. And this hit me, and I was like, wow. And I couldn't figure out, why did God drop this in my spirit? Because, you know, I will admit my own faults. I don't handle traffic well. Those of you who know me well, I have to drive up to the city. I drive up to North County several days a week. I don't handle dumb people on the road well. That's just me. We all have our issues. We all got our things. I'm human just like you are. But that's my thing. And I have to watch myself. And I've really been trying, getting better, to not, I don't like cuss and do other hand gestures, but I verbally, you know, call people stupid a lot. But I'm trying to get better, because what I realized one day, and thank you, Holy Spirit, I was driving along and I put my signal on and I went to change lanes, and I honestly didn't see the people, and I accidentally cut somebody off. And then the very next day when that happened to me, it popped in my head, you know, maybe they just didn't see you. Instead of me just yelling at them, you know, nice blinker, use your mirrors, you know. Because I was getting offended because they were driving stupid. Maybe they just didn't see me. And I had to stop and really think, I do the same thing. I am guilty of the very same thing that I'm getting mad at other people for doing. And I'm like, it was like one of those thank you, oh, ouch moments. Because, I mean, if we think about it, the very same thing that we get offended at a lot of, for other people doing, if we really stop and look at ourselves, many times, not always, but many times, we find that we do similar things. So at that point, I was like, God, remind me of this. Help me to see other people's faults and failures, not for what I see them, but for giving them just the benefit of the doubt. Because sometimes people just need the benefit of the doubt. This probably isn't the direction you thought I was going, but I mean, when we're talking about offenses, does anybody know, and you can raise your hand, does anybody know anybody who refuses to go to church because they were offended by a church, a person in the church, or a pastor? I can raise, but I know several people who don't go to church because they were offended by something that happened in the church. And they happen. We're human, you know, and that, I was in a conversation with someone I used to work with, and they were, I mean, it was justifiable. I mean, they were very hurt by a situation that had happened in their church. I mean, the way the situation happened, really, it was something that didn't handle right. And I just had to remind him, I said, you know, pastors are human too. And he looked at me because he knew that I was an associate pastor, and he'd started to say something, and he looked at me, he's like, I guess you are, aren't you? I said, yeah. I work here with you, but yet that's what I do. I said, yes, I try to keep myself and try to live to a higher standard for the calling that I have, but at the same time, I'm human, and we make mistakes. People in the church make mistakes. It is so easy. You don't have to, I mean, you look at any social media, and you're going to find somebody that's offended. They're mad about something, and they are ready to tell you all about why somebody didn't treat them right and why something's not going on and why they're offended and why you should believe everything that they say. And we all know that everything on the internet is true, right? Oh, yeah. But we have to remember that there's humanity inside things. There's humanity inside of us. There's humanity inside of people. I am not going to say that there aren't just stupid, mean people out there. There are. There are some people who are just mean. You know, I was the little kid in school, so I got bullied a lot. And by little, I mean going into high school, I was like 5'5", weighed 120 pounds. I mean, I was little going into high school. I was the smallest guy on the football team. I used to get a kick, you know, they print out the ads and say, this is, you know, how, you know, the height and weight of the players. And they add a few inches. And they said, for me, that it was like, nobody is under 180 pounds. I used to get such a kick out of that. I didn't weigh 180 pounds with my pads on. I mean, I was the little guy. So, I mean, it was to the point, I remember when we went for high school orientation, I went for the sole purpose to see if I could get out of the locker from the inside. Because I fit. Luckily, that never happened. But, you know, there are mean people out there. And schools are bad. Workplaces are bad. I mean, think about it. Where you work, typically, most places, you will find that one person who's just mean to people. You can't figure out why. Sometimes there isn't even a reason. Sometimes people are just mad. They're just offended at everyone and at everything. Sometimes there is no excuse for it, but sometimes we have to be the bigger person. We have to recognize, okay, yes, they're mad, they're upset. I'm going to be the bigger person, and I'm just going to move on with what's going on. We have to get to the point to where we recognize the offense for what it is. Because if we don't recognize it for what it is, then we're just going to go on contributing to it. Because one person gets offended, then the next person gets offended. And, you know, their offense turns into, they're mad at me, now I'm mad at them because they're mad at me. And after a while, you don't even remember who's mad at who for what and how it even started. But yet, we haven't talked in 5 years because I'm mad at them. Why? I don't know. Because we're holding on to that offense. We're holding on to the right to be mad. And if we really stop and think about it for a minute, it's kind of silly that we hold on to that. We don't even know why we're mad, but I'm mad. I mean, just think about that. I mean, it's so silly. It says in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is meeting with the disciples, and he's talking to them And starting at verse 1, it says, and then he says to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Think about that just for a moment. We live and we're not the same. I am not the same as you are. We may have similar interests. No two people are the same, period. We're unique. God made us that way. And such, we're going to have different ideas, different opinions about things. So there is the opportunity to get offended. It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. That's a tough one, because in the world that I grew up is, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Anybody ever heard that? No. By forgiving, you are giving up the right to be offended. We'll get into that a little bit later. It says, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's a tough one. I mean, that is a tough one. And the apostles, and this is the thing, this was the verse that just really jumped out to me, verse number 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Of all of the stuff that he just said, talking about offenses and all this happened and all the things that they'd seen, I mean, these guys had to have faith. When you stop and think about, I mean, they've witnessed Jesus do some mighty things. They've witnessed Jesus grow out limbs on people who didn't have them, raise people from the dead. I mean, they've witnessed mighty things. But yet when it comes to forgiving your brother, they're like, God, Jesus, increase my faith. Because it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. We don't just walk around, say, okay, I forgive you. Okay, No, we're human. We have feelings. It's part of our nature. When someone hurts us, we feel that. And when they say they're sorry, it doesn't just make all of our feelings go away. And it's very hard. Because when someone says they're sorry, they feel better because they said they're sorry. And they really, truly meant they're sorry. But yet, when you've said something to someone and you've offended someone, you can say you're sorry and mean it, but they're still left to bear the burdens of the words and the scars of what hurt them. So sometimes it takes them a while. Sometimes it's not just an immediate process. It takes a while for people to get past those offenses. And sometimes we have to realize that if we're the one that have offended, sometimes we need to give them space. Sometimes it's just not okay, we're just going to go back to being best friends and hanging out because maybe we offended a friend. And it happens. Sometimes we offend those that we're really close to. We don't mean it. It's not on purpose, but we do. And sometimes we have to realize that sometimes saying you're sorry is the perfect first step. It says right there, if they sin against you 7 times and 7 times come back and say they're sorry, you forgive them. Because we're human. We mess up. We make some mistakes. We all do. We are all going to make mistakes. And it's hard. Because we're human, because God didn't make us robots. He made us in his image. We have thoughts, we have feelings, we have interactions with others. That's the way he made us. It is so hard. Offenses in verse 1, as I started digging into this, the offenses in verse 1 come from the Greek scandalon, which, going back to the whole bait thing earlier, it says the trigger of, which means the trigger of a trap where the bait is placed. And when touched, springs, causing it to close or entrap. It is an offense putting a negative cause and effect relationship into motion. You've never heard someone say, oh, I got offended, and then be happy about it. That's just not the way it works. That offense is the bait. That's what it's saying. It is the trigger of a trap. Because what happens is once we get offended, it opens the door. I mean, think about it. Most of the time, if you get offended on something, it doesn't just stop. Well, I got offended, and then you just go on. No, it's I got offended, and then because of our nature and who we are, we brew it. We develop it in our mind. We keep thinking about it. Every time we see them, it pops up in our mind. I mean, don't raise your hand. I don't want any fingers pointed. Is there that person, or you know of that person, that if you see them in Walmart, you are going to go down a different aisle? Just saying, because they offended you or they did something to you at one time and you're still bearing that. We need to be set free from that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is we've got to get set free from those offenses. And it's not something that you can do by yourself. It's not something that you're meant to do by yourself. Jesus knew that we were going to get offended. He knew that those offenses were going to come, and he laid out a plan for us to get past that. And it's not just a plan for us to get past that. It's a requirement for us to get past that. And we'll get to that in just a moment. You know, we're so good about justifying ourselves when we get offended, because I knew someone once it was almost like a proud thing for them. I haven't talked to my brother in 14 years. I'm like, that's a good, it's like, and I'm still... I missed this holiday because he was there, and I didn't go to that wedding because he was there, and he didn't show up for this. Like, that's not something to brag about. We have to get to the point to where we quit trying to justify. And like, I am just, and think about it. If you get offended, one of the first things you do when you get offended is you justify that offense. You say, this is why I'm offended. I'm offended because of this, and I know I'm right. And regardless of what anybody else says, we just know we're right. And we have all the justification in our head, and we still carry that offense because we've determined this is why I'm offended. I'm going to pop your balloon. You are not perfect. There's not a single person in this place here that's perfect. Just like someone may have offended you, there is a really good chance, even if you don't know it, that there's something that you've done at some point in time in your life where you have offended someone and didn't even know it. That's just who we are. But we speak words, we have interactions, we don't agree. Like I was saying earlier, we all have different opinions about what's right, what's wrong, how things should happen. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but even with what's coming up in November, everybody is so divided and opinionated about everything right now. And if you don't agree with their side, you don't agree with their point of view, they're telling you all the reasons why you shouldn't or do or don't. And sometimes you just have to cut it off. Sometimes you have to stop listening to all the stuff. Sometimes you just need to stop and pray. Stop and figure out, okay, what do I believe? What is true? Because, I mean, let's just face reality. You can't believe anything you see on the internet anymore because it's all opinion. I mean, I can remember as a kid, watching the news as a kid, there wasn't opinions in it. They just gave you the facts. This is what happened. And that's what they did, is they just described what happened. And that's all it was, is it was just a description of the events that took place. Now they give their spin. Now every time I watch the news, it's their spin on it or how they perceived it's happened. And they're guessing what's going to happen in the future and how it's going to make all these. I just want the, Maxwell's smart. I just want the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. But you can't find that anymore. So you really have to stop and think about the things that you read, that you see. And I mean, some of it, I mean, let's face it. Sometimes we see things that truly are offensive. I mean, I'm like, how could people put that stuff on there? Wow, really? But I come across a thing the other day, and I've never heard it put in a better way. And a guy was describing people who got offended versus people who didn't. And he said, you know what the difference is? He said, the people who don't get offended just move on. The people who choose not to believe just carry on a different conversation. The ones who choose to not partake in that, they just go someplace different. They do something different. He said, but then you have those who want to self-justify and they're looking for justification for their offense and they're going to try to find anybody else they can to be on their side. So sometimes, and what I'm saying to you, I'm doing this in love. If you have someone who comes to you and they're explaining to you and they're spewing to you how someone did them so wrong, just ask them. So were you offended? They're like, well, yeah, I was offended. I can't believe that. Can you believe? I'm like, did you forgive them? Did you forgive them for offending you? I mean, obviously they didn't, because if you really look at it, to forgive somebody is literally just you giving up your right to be offended. It's forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you're giving up your right to be mad at what they did. I'm not saying that it was right. It could have been very wrong. But what you're doing is when you forgive them, you're giving up your right to be mad about the situation, and you're just turning it over to God. And say, you know what, God? This is on you. I've been hurt by people in the past, and it was truly God that got me through different situations. And I'm not saying it's going to be something that's going to happen. Okay, they hurt me today. I'm going to be their best friend tomorrow. That doesn't always happen. You know, there is a healing process that is involved with that. There is time, like I said, when someone says something to you and you're hurt and you're bearing the burden and bearing those scars, sometimes it takes a while for scars to heal. Sometimes it takes a while for those hurts to heal. Sometimes, you know, true scars don't really go away. Sometimes they're a little bit, the longer you go, the less visible they become and the less noticed they are, but they're still there. Scars aren't necessarily a bad thing. Got to throw my Disney reference in here, the movie Cars. I loved it. Mater is going undercover. If anybody remembers the old movie Cars, Mater is an old rusty tow truck. And somehow or another, he got mixed up with a spy, and he's going undercover. So they're trying to give him a new paint job and trying to fix him up. And they're like, and this machine comes out, and it's trying to buffer him. He's like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, well, we need to buffer out this dent. He's like, no, I don't think so. He's like, but we need to make this dent go away. He's like, no, that dent is a memory of when me and my best friend did something. He said, it was stupid, but this is what we did, and I want to hang on to that dent. That's what our scars are. So many times we hate our scars. You know, I have scars all over my hands, my face. I was the kid that if there was a tree to climb, I was seeing how high I could get in the tree before the limbs started really. I was an outdoor kid climbing everything. If you could build a ramp out of it to jump a bicycle on it, I was trying it. Wrecked a lot of bikes. My brother taught me how to rebuild my bike, and that was a good thing because we did it a lot. We're always trying to find bike parts. But I have all these scars, and scars bring memories. Those memories aren't always good, but they're a reminder of what God has gotten you through. If you stop and think about that, sometimes scars are good memories. Sometimes they're, yeah, I remember when we did that. We had lots of fun. We did stupid things. Ripped the skin off my elbow, wrecking the go-kart. That was a fun memory. But then we have other scars, and like, that wasn't so bad. But you know what? God got me through that. And we can use those scars as testimonies to help other people get through the stuff that they're going through. Because sometimes people need to hear that other people went through stuff. They need to know that other people were offended and then got over it. Because all they can see, sometimes we just get this tunnel vision of, and that's what the devil does. He tries to get us locked in this tunnel vision of what we see in front of us, of the offense. He gets us baited in that offense, and then he gets us trapped. Once he gets us on the hook, then he's just going to keep us on the hook as long as he can. And sometimes we need a little help getting free from that. Sometimes we need to help others get free from that. Sometimes we have to watch out for the fakes. I had to ask Tiff because I don't know. And I was like, what's something that people make fakes of? And she says, Gucci. I guess that's a purse? Is it stuff? Okay. I don't know. Fashion is not my thing. I can remember hearing stories of people buying fake purses, fake wallets. You know, do you really think you're going to buy, even from some guy who's got them lined on the inside of his jacket, a Rolex for $25? Sorry, that don't happen. They're fake. And that's what Satan does is he tries to present this offense in a way that is so real, that looks so real, but it's something that it's not. When we take that offense, when we take that bait, when we choose to get offended on things, what that does is that automatically hooks us and narrows down our vision. It's like horses. If you ever notice horses in a parade, a lot of them will have those little blinders on the sides of their eyes to keep them from getting distracted by what's going on around them. And that's what happens is when we bite into that hook of the offense of whatever Satan's trying to dangle in front of us, is he slaps those binders on us to where all we can see is the offense and what's going on in front of us. And we have to break free from that. And we do that by trusting in God. There has to come a point in time where we realize that I can't get over this by myself, that I'm going to have to ask, even if someone has forgiven me, I need to ask God to forgive me for being offended, and I need to make it right. Sometimes we have to be the one, even if that person doesn't know that they offended us, they don't know that they did anything wrong. Sometimes we have to be the one to initiate the contact. Maybe they just see that we've been acting different towards them in a while. Maybe they're like, man, I wonder what happened. We used to hang out all together, but now we don't hang out together anymore. And they're just giving you, maybe they don't even know. Sometimes we have to say, you know, you said this and it offended me. Give them an opportunity to apologize. Because maybe they really are sorry. Maybe they didn't mean it, but we're holding on to this thing that wasn't even on purpose, but yet we've gotten so offended that we're letting relationships with our good friends, with spouses, with coworkers, just get totally annihilated and blown apart by something that we perceived that wasn't even what they intended. Because that's what Satan does. He's all about mixing it up and spinning it and trying to make it look like something it's not. Because I love the scripture in the Bible where it says, someday we will look at those and we will say, this is the one who made the nations tremble. This is the one who deceived so many. When we see Satan for what he truly is, we're going to laugh. But yet, as long as we can't see him, he's presenting himself to be this big giant thing that's in front of us that we need to be scared of and that we need to be doing this and that. And, you know, and he's always dangling the bait out in front of us. But when we stop and think, God is so much bigger. God is so much bigger. But when we have to let go of the bait. We have to let go of that, you know, the thing that's dangling in front of us. Sometimes we have to let go of it in order to get healed. We have to let go of the thing that we're trapped in order to move on. We can't figure out, why can I not move on further with God's things? How come I'm still trapped in the same everything that I've been in for years? How come I'm not experiencing better moves of God? How come I don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life so much anymore? Maybe it's because we're holding on to things and keeping ourselves held back because we just won't let go. Sometimes we have to let go of stuff to move on. Because if you're constantly hanging, you know, even when you pull a car out of the ditch, you don't leave your chain hooked up. You got to unhook it so they can go on their way and you go on your way. You help people, but then you got to let go. And that's what we have to do, is we have to let go of that bait that Satan's been dangling in front of us. Sometimes that means that we have to say no to ourselves. Maybe that's some prayer and fasting time. We've been talking about that. Maybe we need to spend some time in prayer and fasting. Because, you know, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, they were like, I mean, they were honest. They were doing the best they could. And they were like, how come we couldn't cast the demons out of these people? And he's like, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. You know, God doesn't give us a step-by-step, every single outline for every different problem that we're going to encounter in our lives. What he does is he builds us up and tells us what we need to do to get close to him and to realize the power and the weapons that we have. And we need to learn how to use the weapons. And we learn that by reading our Bible, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer. So when these situations come, regardless of what they might be, we still have on the inside of us the strength that we need to get past those. I think it was Tiff told me the other day, somebody got on the scale and said, man, full armor of God's heavy. I'm there right now. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 verses 43 and 44. He says, and you have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Because that's what everybody had been taught. You hate your enemy. This is Jesus speaking. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's hard. I mean, let's just look at the humanity of that. That is a hard one. When you got, you know, you come across those in, we all do at times, those people that are just mad at everyone and everything. And they're just ranting and raving and doing everything they can to tell you how you're not good enough and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and this and that and the other. And God's saying, pray for them. Don't hate them. Love them. What I realized a long time ago, what God helped me to see is that everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got a past. I don't care who you are. Everybody's got a past. You got something that you've gone through. And you have to make a choice. Sometimes it's a daily basis. Sometimes it's, well, you have to make a choice. Are you going to hang on to that hurt and allow it to affect every relationship forward in your life? Or are you going to let go of that and say, you know what? I choose to walk with God and I choose to let it go. Because sometimes the only way you're really going to get your healing is if you let it go. You know, they say in first aid, when someone's got a wound, that you put a bandage on it. And then if the bleeding doesn't stop, it doesn't say you do not pull that bandage off to put another one on. It just says you put another one on it, and then you put another one on it. But too many people are ripping that bandage off to see if it's still bleeding. All you're doing is making it bleed again. You're just opening up that wound. Sometimes the way to get past stuff is to not put yourself back in the middle of it. But let's face it, our human nature, that's what we do. We find something that was enticing one time. We got, you know. Parents say, you don't touch the stove. You touch the stove, you got burned. Most of us learned that lesson the first time. There are some of us that, you know, were 18 years old before we figured out how to get the last bite off of a shish kebab without gagging ourselves. We got to learn. Some people just don't learn fast, and that's okay. The thing is that you do learn. Whether you're doing the same thing over and over again, and if you're still trapped in where you were and you're doing the same thing over again, maybe it's time to make a change. Maybe it's time to stop and look inside of us. We're so quick, and it's just our nature, we're so quick to see everyone else and point out their flaws. When was the last time we stopped and looked at ourselves and said, you know what, God, reveal in me what I need to work on. Reveal in me the offenses that I have that I need to get past. Because we have to do it. And you know, it blows my mind the level that one offense can have, even in one person, depending on your relationship with who you're offended by. If a stranger does something really stupid, says something stupid, a lot of times if it's someone we don't know, they're just stupid. Just ignore them. But if it's someone we know that says the same thing, you're like, hold on, hold the phone here. Why would they say that? And it instantly triggers thoughts. But if it's someone that we're really close with and they say that same thing, we're mad. Because there's a different level to it, and that level comes by the relationship that we have. Because let's face it, there's an old adage, who do we hurt most? The ones that we love and the ones that we care about. Because it's not expected. It's not, that hurt is not expected from them. But like I said, we all say dumb things, you know. Hopefully I'm not the only one. There's been times that I've opened my mouth and said stuff, and before the sentence was even done, I was like, ooh, shouldn't have said that. Filter wasn't working real good. You know, I've accused myself, you know, before of the only time that I've taken one foot out of my mouth was to insert the other one in it. Because we get trapped in these dumb thoughts, and we get ourselves circling around. Sometimes we just need to stop the insanity. Sometimes we just need to stop and look and say, you know what, God, show me. Help me to keep my mouth shut. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says the rudder is such a small piece on a ship, but yet can turn the whole ship. And it compares it to a tongue, because that's the same way. That, you know, once those words come out, you can't take them back. You know, it's not like a Facebook message that you can go in and delete. The thing is, someone probably saw that before you deleted it. It's out there. Someone took a screenshot. But once those words come out, you can't put them back. That's why I'm starting, and I was telling Tiff, I'm trying to get back in the habit. Several years ago, I got in the habit. If you look in Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. The most days in any month is 31. So several years ago, I got in the habit of every day I would read whatever day, like if it was the sixth day of the month, I would read Proverbs 6. On the seventh, I would read Proverbs 7. And I would do that every month. That way I was getting that. And as I've started been doing that, you know, I'm starting to get back into the where it talks about wisdom. And I think it was Proverbs 5 or 6 when it talks about hanging on, treasure wisdom far more than silver, gold, or fine gems. Because there's something about the wisdom when we spend time in God's word and we allow his word to radiate in our mind and we get that going, we become less likely to offend. We become less likely to say stuff. When we close our mouths and listen first, two ears, one mouth, so we should be doing twice as much of this as we do this. When we listen, it allows us to process stuff a little bit better, maybe not open our mouths and say stupid things. Because, I mean, hopefully I'm not the only one that says lots of stupid things. Sometimes the filter just doesn't work as clearly as it used to. Another one of those, is anybody home? Sometimes my filter forgets to show up and I get myself in trouble because I'm human and I'm sorry and I truly am sorry, but the person that I spoke to doesn't make it go away. They have to get past that. The three things that we really need to do to get through these offenses. Number one, the first and foremost, is we need to recognize that we are offended. Because there are some people that don't, they're just mad. They don't think of it as an offense, they're just mad. Somebody hurt me, I'm mad. You'll find people, like I said earlier, that they've been mad for years. They don't even remember why they're mad, but they're mad. And it's my right to be mad. It's also your right to get over it and move on. Not everyone wants to hear about what happened, you know. I love when people talk about the good old days, when I want to remind them the good old days, yes, but I love indoor plumbing and hot water. there are some things that are good about the good old days. You know, the fact that, you know, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one. When you got in trouble as a kid, when you got grounded, most of the time I got grounded outside. Get out of the house. Go play. I got in trouble for doing something. Get out of here. Go play. I don't want to see you till the street light comes on. That's what we did. Nowadays, you do that to a kid, oh man, if they lose all their electronics and they have to go outside, it'd be like the end of the world. You know, I saw a meme one time, a kid got grounded and his parents told him to go outside. They went outside 2 hours later and he was just sitting on the front porch. Like, what are you doing? Waiting. Didn't know what to do. Wasn't sure what to do outside. I mean, when we were kids, we played with a stick for 2 hours. I mean, and if there was a friend coming by, we'd be, you know, we were instantly in a sword fight or playing stickball or throwing it at each other or doing something dumb. We have to be able to move past just this trapped in this offense that happened years ago. We've got to look inside of ourselves and say, you know what, God, help me. Sometimes we can't get over this stuff ourselves, but first thing that we have to do is we have to realize that there's a problem. If you find yourself getting mad quickly, if you find yourself getting angry quickly, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you why you are so mad. Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you really need the Holy Spirit to let you know why you are so offended, to help you get past that. Maybe you need him to help you get past that anger, get past that hurt. Because if we don't heal correctly, you know, if someone breaks a leg and they don't go to the doctor, they don't get it set correctly, they don't get the bone, then they're going to end up with a limp. They're going to end up with a bone that's not healed correctly. And they're going to end up bearing the scars of that for a long time. What happens? Because you didn't take care of it. Sometimes we have to get it taken care of. I've even heard of doctors having to re-break things to set them. I'm like, ouch. Because why? You have to set it right in order to get it to heal and move forward. And sometimes we hang on to those hurts so much. We hang on to how much they hurt me, how much they scarred me, the things that they did to me that I know weren't right. I'm not saying they were right. I'm not justifying anything that they did, but I'm saying in order for you to move on with God, in order for you to get closer to God, to move on to the good things that he has in your life, sometimes we have to let go of the bad. Good and bad cannot dwell in the same place. You can't have light and dark at the same time. It doesn't work that way. To do one, you have to get rid of the other. And what we have to do is sometimes maybe we need the light switch flipped on. We need God, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what our hurt is, what that hang-up is that we can't let go of, and allow him to help us. And that's that relationship that we have, saying, God, I need help with this. I can't do this on my own. I'm laying this before you. Help me get past. It doesn't mean that it's not going to creep up and it's not the devil's not going to try to throw that back up in your mind. But I promise you this, the more that you get past it, the less it's going to be likely for you to pick it back up. The further you get away from it, you still might remember it. You still might have a vision of it and have a quick pop-up, but it's not going to control you like you did when you allow it to move past and when you allow yourself to go forward with that. Because it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do when you let him. And that's the thing is, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself. But if you ask him to help, he will. And sometimes we have to let him. We have to let go of that hurt. We have to let go of the hang-up. We have to let go of the thing that's keeping us back in order to move on to the promises of God and the great things that he has for us. Two lessons that I've learned in life, and it's really the only two rules that we have at our house that I've told Max this since he was a toddler. This has always been our rules. First and foremost, be respectful. Everyone, all the time, always. It doesn't matter if they deserve it. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter who they are. You be respectful. And if we can learn that, just that in itself will help us get past a lot of offenses, because a lot of times we're offended by other people who are just spewing. And sometimes they're spewing because they are hurt. Why? Because hurt people hurt people. They're hurt. They've been hurt. So when we stop and look at them for the person they are, not for the things that are coming out of their mouth or the actions that they're doing, a lot of times what we'll see is that they're just hurt people. They're people that no one has shown them respect. And we all know that you don't get respect by demanding respect. You get respect by giving respect. When you give respect, that respect is reciprocated. When you demand respect, you will get obedience. You don't get respect. So when we're respectful to everyone all the time, always, show them that you care. Show them that you value their opinion. Doesn't mean you have to agree. It does not mean that you have to agree, but you can still be respectful. Disagreement does not mean disrespect. That is something that I had a coach tell me one time. I was listening to coaches that were arguing about some plays, and it was I think it was actually a Vince Lombardi quote, and that was what he said. He said, "Disagreement does not mean disrespect," and it was a subordinate coach talking to a head coach. He said, "I do not agree with what we're doing." He said, "But I respect you enough that I will do it." And that really stuck with me, because disagreement does not mean disrespect. I don't have to agree with you to give you respect. But I will respect you and still have my own opinion. The second one, obey the laws. When God says to do something, do it. Of all the stuff and several of the things that you hear in society all the time, how much of it would have never happened if people would have just followed the law and done what they were supposed to do? Most of it wouldn't have happened if people would have just done. How many videos do we have to see of traffic stops going completely AWOL because someone simply wouldn't show an officer respect and just hand them their driver's license and registration? Things go crazy for lack of respect and not doing what you're supposed to do. Another one in this that we get trapped in outside of those is jealousy. And jealousy is the big one. Jealousy is one that Satan is really good about bringing up to us, and he's really bad about throwing in front of our face. And that's, you might say, "Oh no, not me. I don't get jealous." But have we ever been aggravated or seen somebody who gets something and think, "How come I don't have mine? Where's mine? How come they got a nice house? I didn't get a nice house. How come they have a nice car? They were able to get a new car. I don't have a new car. How come their marriage is great? My marriage isn't great. How come their spouse does this for them? My spouse doesn't do that for me." We have to stop comparing ourselves to everyone else. We are all our own people. We are all unique in the way that God created us. The relationships that we have with the people that we love is the way that God put in place for such a time as this. We have to get past that. We have to get past looking at other people to find the justification for ourselves. We don't look at other people for that justification. We look at ourselves. We look at what God has given us. Maybe we're not where someone else is, but you know what? That doesn't mean that we are any less. Step two. Step one was recognize we're offended. Step two is we have to deal with it. If we continue walking in the ways that we've always done, we're never going to get anywhere different. We can't gripe about what we don't have if we've never taken the steps to get something different. I heard that quote one time. It says, "No one has the right to gripe about anything unless they've first done something to change the situation." You're like, "But there's so many things that I gripe about that I can't change. I can't change what this happened." You have a right to vote. You have a right to turn off what you're watching if you don't agree with it. You have a right to leave the room if a conversation is going on that you don't agree with. You have rights. Sometimes that means giving up some of your rights to be in a certain place or to say a certain thing in order to keep the peace. And sometimes that's what God calls us to do, to be the peacekeepers. I've also heard a lot of people say, "Well, God's no respecter of persons. He gave it to them. He should be able to give it to me." I started looking at this because to me, it's kind of like that, you know, I heard several people one time say, "Well, you know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves." No, it doesn't. That's not what it says at all. It's not in there anywhere. So I started thinking about that, and the Holy Spirit had given me that. So I started looking up in like Acts chapter 10 and Romans chapter 2 were some of the big verses where people start quoting that God is no respecter of persons. But when you look at that in context, in both of those situations, what he's talking about, like the first one in Acts, when Peter is first presented with Cornelius, and he goes to Cornelius' house. At that time, Gentiles and Jews didn't mesh. And Peter had a vision and a blanket of all these unclean animals. He was a Jew, so there was lots of there's all these unclean animals were presented before him. And the Holy Spirit told him, choose and eat. And he said, Lord, I can't do that. These are unclean animals. And God told him, don't call unclean what I have called clean. So later on, when he goes to Cornelius' house, you know, God tells him these people are going to show up, go with him. He goes to Cornelius' house, who is a Gentile. And they're just now starting to get to the point where they're starting to reach out to some of the Gentiles. And that's when it says, God is no respecter of persons. The same spirit that was set up for the Jews is now available for the Gentiles. And if you look at in Romans, they're very similar to what they say in the way, the meaning and the context. What was set up for the Jews is now open for the Gentiles. God is no respecter of persons. God is free for everyone. The Holy Spirit is available for all of us now because of the price that was paid. He is open for all of us. And when you stop and think, I was also reminded of the talents. You know, we think we can have something just because someone else has something. That doesn't necessarily mean that way. When Jesus was giving the parable, what did he say? He said to one, he gave 10 talents. To one, he gave 5. To one, he gave 1. Why? Because God understands us. He made us. He knows us from the inside out. We just come from the known conference. God knows us. He knows what we can handle. And you know what? I might not be able to handle what some other people could handle. If God blessed me the way that he blessed some other people, I might not be able to handle that. Maybe that would be enough for me to trip and stumble and quit looking to him as my source because I have my source. And I'm not looking to God as my provider anymore because I've been distracted by the things that I might have. God knows you. You know, I used to hear people, you know, number one retirement plan is the lottery. I'm like, what? There's so many people that don't prepare for retirement. The lottery is their retirement plan. They buy that ticket every week, hoping to win the Powerball or whatever thing it is anymore. That's not a retirement plan because, and they're like, well, I prayed. If God would give me the lottery, I'll do good with it. How can God? Can he trust you with what you have right now? Are you tithing? Are you giving? Are you allowing yourself to be a vessel that he moves through? Why would he bless you? If you stop and look at the people who have won the lottery, how many of them are still wealthy? Very, very few. They blow it. Lots of them have ended up on drugs, in accidents, done a lot of stupid things because we can't handle it. So when we constantly compare ourselves to someone else saying, God, why can't I have what they have? Honestly, maybe we can't handle it. Maybe it's a lesson that we need to learn. Maybe we need to learn the steps to do. There's nothing wrong with seeing someone who has something that you want and asking them, having a conversation with them. I see where you're at. It's somewhere I would like to be. How do I get there? What was the steps that you took? And we need to help other people. If God has gotten us to a point, if we've gotten to a point that we've gotten our blessings, sometimes we need to turn around and look at those that are still climbing the ladder and reach out a hand. Make it a little easier for them to step up. Help show them what you've done, how God has blessed you. Show them in the Word how God has blessed you. Get it back to the Bible saying, you know what? Why am I blessed? Because I'm a tither. I'm a giver. This is what God has put. There's laws in place. You sow what you reap what you sow. Those are laws that are in place. We help those that are around us to get where they want to be. But you can't just expect God to zap. You're happy. You know, we expect God, we pray, God, help me get through the situation. Make me happy. Make all my problems disappear. God's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You have to go through the situation to realize the strength that is on the inside of you so that you can help others who are going through other situations see that it is possible. And that's what we have to do. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Through our testimony that we can give and share with other people of the things that God has brought us through to give them hope, to allow them to get through the things that they're going through. We don't always understand. There are things that have happened in my life that I still don't understand, that I still question, God, why did this happen? But I've learned to have the peace in the questions. I've chosen to say, you know what, God, I don't understand. Maybe it's not meant for me to understand. Maybe when I get to heaven, I will. Maybe I won't. But you know what? In the waiting for that to happen, in the waiting for heaven, I am still going to praise you. I am still going to have hope. I am still going to have faith, even though I'm going through this. Sometimes we do the same dumb thing over and over again. Put the two by four up on the bricks, tried to ride over it, ran off the side, wrecked. What happens? I got on my bike, went up the street, and tried it again. Wrecked again. Got to get a bigger board. That's what we do. We do dumb things. And we repeat. Dumb, repeat. Dumb, repeat. We have to break the cycle. And we break the cycle by saying, you know what? Stop. God, what am I doing? And sometimes we have to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what's going on. Sometimes it takes more than spending your whole prayer time asking for something. Sometimes we have to stop and just listen. Hear that small voice that's on the inside of us. We don't get that big giant, thus saith the Lord. We don't always get that. Sometimes it's that still small voice, it's that feeling on the inside, that tells you, this isn't right, you need to do this. And if it makes you feel a little uncomfortable, that means you probably need to do it. Because you need to get out of the comfort of doing the same thing you've always done in order to get something better. Maybe you need to start a new process. And that's what we have to do sometimes, is we have to start that new process. We have to be thankful that we have a place to live when there are people out on the streets. We have to be thankful that we have a car. Maybe it doesn't always get us from point A to B on time, but just be thankful you have a car. I can remember times as a kid, me and my mom, we didn't have a car. We had a cart. We would go grocery shopping. We would walk. I think I went back and drove it one time because I was curious. I think it was almost 2.5 miles. We would walk to the grocery store pushing a cart. At that time, we were just thankful we had the cart. Because you could fit 8 bags of groceries in the cart. And if I was good and helped my mom, she'd stop and let me play on the merry-go-round on the way home at the park. You got to be thankful for what you have. Quit judging blessings on what other people have. Because that jealousy creates offense. And the next thing you know, we're offended because they have something we're not. But we don't know what they've gone through to get that. We don't know the stages that they've gone through to get that. We don't know the hell that they've had to get forgiven and that they've been through to get to where they're at. We're asking for that same blessing, but are we willing to go through what they went through to get that? We have to be careful that we have to stop being offended by everything that people do. I have this picture. This is one of my favorite pictures. I would love to have a poster for this. It says, "How deep is the mud? Depends on who you ask." Maybe you see people like that big dog, and they're at that point in their faith right now. They're at that point in their ministry. They're at that point in life that they've gone through all the stuff, and the God has risen them up, and they've grown in the faith, and they've gotten bigger, and they've gotten bolder, and they're no longer that baby Christian, but they're the ones that are praying for others, and they're the ones that are pulling people up. And then you got the baby Christian who's still trying to figure out, and they're looking and saying, you're doing great. How come that I can't get where you're at? And the mud's up to here on them. We all, same level of mud, but we all see it differently. We can't judge other people. We can't get offended by what somebody else has because we don't know the mud that they've come through. Maybe it's the same mud we've come through, but they've gone through life a little bit longer. They've gone through experiences. I'm not talking about age. Age has nothing to do with it. I've known kids that have gone through more hell than some adults that I've seen. It's not about age, but it's about life and the experiences and how close they've gotten with God. And when we let God, when we continue to grow in God, how selfish can we be to not turn around and help those around us through it? That's what we have to do. Number three. Number one, we recognize that we are offended. Two, we have to deal with it. Number three, we have to prevent it from happening again. How do we do this? Honestly, you do step three by getting through steps one and two. There's no shortcut. There's no all, this is just instantly. No, you have to endure things. How do you get stronger? You have to go to the gym. You have to do something with your muscles. You have to build up your muscles to get stronger. I played sports for lots of years, and the first couple of weeks of any sport that I did was always the roughest. Because when you've gone through all summer and not done anything, and then all of a sudden it's time for football camp, and you're running sprints and hitting the weight room that you haven't done in 2 or 3 months, those first couple of weeks are brutal. You're sore. You hurt. It's painful. I didn't realize stairs could hurt that much. I didn't realize I had that many muscles that could hurt. But what happens? You keep doing it. You keep doing it, and it gets easier, and it gets easier. As you go through it, it gets easier. So maybe you're struggling with forgiving somebody. Maybe you're struggling with being offended at something right now. But you know what? As you get through it now, you're gaining the experience that you need that next time it happens, you'll be able to forgive a lot more easily. Because you're building those muscles up. You're building that up. You're building your spirit man up to be able to get through those sorts of things. We have to stop trying to defend our position because sometimes you have to realize you can't argue with stupid. There's a story I heard where a tiger and a donkey are arguing over the color of the grass. The tiger's like, the grass is green. The donkey's like, no, the grass is purple. Tiger's like, you're dumb. The grass is not purple. The grass is green. Nope, it's purple. So they've spent all this time arguing. Well, finally they decide, okay, they're going to take it to the lion. The lion's the judge. So they take it to the judge. And the lion says, and they're like, okay, sir, who's right? The donkey or me? Is the grass green as we see, or is it purple like he says? The lion says, tiger, you are wrong. Here's your punishment. And he punishes the tiger. And the donkey starts laughing and runs away. And the tiger's like, but I was right. Why did I get punished? Because I was right. And the lion told him, he said, because no matter how much you argued, you are not going to change the mind of a person who refuses to see what is right in front of them. Who refuses to see the truth. And there are so many people in the world today that refuse to see the truth. They refuse to believe the truth of God's word. And they will find other ways to justify it. And they will find other ways to get around all these sorts of things. And when you continue to argue with them, when you continue, you have to realize you're not going to change their mind. Sometimes you just need to stop the conversation and go a different route. It's okay to agree to disagree. And walk on. Because as long as you continue arguing a point with someone who does not see any other way, I mean, face it, I can think of times that Tiff and I have gotten in discussions. I knew I was right. I 100%, I had it in my head. I knew I was right. I had everything in my head to justify why I felt the way that I felt. And she will tell you that I was wrong because she knew in her mind everything that needed to happen because that's why I was wrong and because she knew what was right. And there have been times in our marriage that we have simply had to agree to disagree, and we change the subject. You don't agree to disagree and keep talking about it. Because then you're not going anywhere. You're still in the middle of the tension. We agree to disagree, and we change the subject. Because it's not worth the argument. It's not worth the fight. It's not worth saying something in the filter, slipping something by that shouldn't got by, and saying something that's going to offend the other person. When you can say, you know what? Let's just stop. I know I'm right. You know we're right. We agree to disagree. Let's go on. And that's what we do. And the older we get, we still have that from time to time. We still have that discussion that, you know what? I'm right. You're right. Agree to disagree. Move on. And that's just what we do. And we've done it so often that it's no big deal. We just change the subject and go on. Because that's what you do. Sometimes you can't just keep arguing with someone. Because sometimes, let's face it, whether we're right or wrong, sometimes in our mind we have justified exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And we are convinced 100% that we're right. But I tell you this right now, being at peace is so much better than being right. Being at peace is so much better than being right. You can be right in your mind and keep your mouth shut. I learned that a long time ago. You can be right in your mind and keep your mouth shut to keep the peace. Because let's face it, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter? And if we stop and think about it, most of the time it doesn't. Did it matter what color the grass was? No. No amount of arguing is going to change the color of the grass. But the lion needed to do something to change the way the tiger was thinking to get him to stop arguing with something that made no sense. And sometimes we argue stuff. Sometimes we're the donkey arguing stuff. Why? Because that's just the way we see it. Maybe the donkey was colorblind and that's truly the color that he saw it. It's still not worth arguing about. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We're going to wind this down. It says, Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. He didn't say seek truth. He said seek peace. Because sometimes that's what we need to do, is we need to seek peace. Knowing what's true, we know what's true, never called into question. Sometimes we need to seek the peace. We need to quit arguing with something just for the sake of arguing. Offenses will come. There's nothing we're going to do. There's over 6 billion people on the planet, and we're all not going to get along. There are things that people are going to say that are going to offend you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to allow it to control you? Or are you going to allow it to consume you? Are you going to allow yourself to get mad? Are you going to allow yourself, even though I need to get my Fruit Loops, I'm not going to walk down the cereal aisle because that person's down the cereal aisle. And you know what they did to me 6 years ago and what they said about me? I'm not even going to let them see my face. They don't care. They're going about their business, doing whatever they're going to do. You're the one that has yourself trapped by hooking on to the bait of that offense. They don't care. They're living a good life. The only person carrying that offense hurts is ourselves. Sometimes the hurt's real. I'm not arguing the fact that the hurt's not real. The hurt is real. Sometimes the hurt is deep and it takes a while. But when we turn it over to God, when we can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I'm seeing this. Help me get through this. Help me to see where I'm trapped. Help me to see how I got my mind contained on this, and help me to get past that. And when we ask him to help, it says in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, he have but ask. When we can't figure out how to get through it, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help open my eyes to help me see what's in front of me. Help me to get past the hurt and this hang-up that I'm dealing with that I can't let go of. Help me to let go and draw closer to you. And when we do that, God can pull us in. We have to stop taking the bait. No matter how good it looks, no matter how justified we think we are, in the end, does it really matter? Most of the time? No. What does matter? Him. Be an example of him. When people see you offended and mad and throwing your grown-up temper tantrum, does that point them to Jesus? No. That gives them that excuse that they need to, you know, I see them, they go to that church. Why would I go to that church if all those people are like him? Why? Because we're all human and we all make mistakes. We're not a perfect church. We're a bunch of messed up people doing the best that we can. And when we see other people going through stuff, we reach out our hands and help them up. Because that's what we do. Because we're a family. If you would bow your heads with me this morning. I'm going to lead in prayer. I'm not going to have you repeat after me because I want it to be your words. I'm not you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't. What you're going through may be similar to what I'm going through, but you're not me. You still see things differently. You experience things differently. Everybody goes through their own stuff and has to go through their own stuff themselves. But I'm going to lead in prayer, and I want you to pray with me just for a moment. Father, thank you for your anointing on this service this morning. God, help me to see. God, open up my eyes to the offenses that I've taken. Open up my heart to see the people that I've hurt, not knowing. Father, open up my mind to have the wisdom. God, give me the wisdom and the words to say to those people I've hurt to get past these situations. Father, let me not be the stumbling block that is keeping somebody else from having a better relationship with you. Father, help me to get past my pride. Help me to get past my jealousy. Help me to get past my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups and the things that are weighing me down that I refuse to let go. Help me to let go of those things. God, I know I can't do it myself. I know I don't have the ability in and of myself to let go of those things. But I know with your help that I can. Father, help me to keep my attitude correct. Help me to keep my mouth closed and my ears open when I interact with other people. Father, help me to walk away and not take the bait from conversations and things that other people have going on in their lives. Help me to walk away. Help me to close. Help me to get away from conversations. Help me to shut it off in my mind that I'm not being pulled in by the bait of this world, by the bait of Satan. But Father, I am walking away. I am not taking others' offenses upon myself. But Father, give me the words to say. Holy Spirit, give us the words to say to help others get through what they're going through. And give us the wisdom to know when we just need to close our mouths and accept the peace of the silence. Father, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know you this morning, maybe they knew you at one time and they've been away for a while. Father, I know I am not a perfect person. So, Father, I ask you this morning to forgive me for my offenses. Forgive me for my impasses, my imperfections. Forgive me for attitudes. Forgive me for judgments. Forgive me for the things that I deal with that I know aren't right. Father, I thank you for coming and living in my heart and helping me to be better. Father, I turn over everything that I know of myself. And I set it at your feet. Father, I thank you for being born and dying on that cross and taking all my sins upon you, that I can be set free and that I have a promise of a future in heaven with you. Father, I thank you for your people being here this morning. I thank you for traveling mercies to flow in front of them and beyond them. I thank you, Father, for favor upon your people. Full well knowing that favor is not fair. I thank you for blessing them and keeping them safe when they travel. Father, put people in our paths that we can minister to. And Holy Spirit, give us boldness to speak your word and your way that we can bring other people up and help the mud get a little less deep. In Jesus' name, amen.